welcome in to the first ever Big Cuz Does with my man, Rusty Mansell, having a cold beer with my
No, brother. Look at you.
Yeah, it's a little earlier than usual, but
I'm out.
Yeah. How you doing, Rusty, man?
Good, man. You know, kind of breathing for a little bit, and it's different, man. You know, back in the day, we just had signing day, and you know, now now you go through signing day, you go through portal season, you go through we had like 28 weeks of freaking playoffs. I mean, it's just a different calendar, man. Wait, you know, I tell people all the time, whether you like it or not, this is the way it's going to be, and you got to kind of adjust.
Yeah, it is. It seems like it's always something now, which is great if you love the content, but yeah. I think it diminishes a little bit the luster of a National Signing Day. I used to take off work just so I could watch, you know, Tennessee lands.
No doubt.
Now I'm getting a text like, hey, where were you yesterday? National Signing Day happened. So was there any surprises for you? I mean, you know.
Not really. I mean, truthfully, the second signing day now is for the lower level type guys, and those guys deserve their moment too. You know, I think the overall kind of theme to me was this portal window wasn't as strong as last year. You start talking about guys like Dylan Gabriel and Walter Nolan and, you know, Caleb Downs and those guys. You're talking about NFL first round guys that were in that. I don't think this particular portal window was as strong, and that tells me that current teams are doing better with their roster. Look, you can take Tennessee, a team you cover, Mike Matthews. Yeah. There were some rumors that Mike Matthews was going to go in, and you know, he obviously told us that he intended to go in, but you know, kudos to Tennessee, they did a good job of keeping him and getting him back in the fold. So I think roster management this time around, people were able to keep their rosters a little bit more, but still some good players, but it wasn't the depth of last year. I don't know if that's a sign going forward. It's just, you know, it's kind of two sample sizes.
Yeah, well, I mean, they you know, it's funny you talk about that, because when I think of Georgia and Bama and some of these big brand schools, it's, you know, when I was growing up, we knew who the quarterback probably was going to be 3-4 years from now.
No doubt.
And now here we got Carson Beck. You know, that saga, I thought, hey, he's going to the pros, and then, okay, well, maybe Georgia keeps him. I wasn't, like, really dialed into that situation, but it just seems like that's going to be a 30 for 30 later about what happened with Carson Beck. But in your opinion, what was the timeline of that, or your perspective of Carson Beck leaving Georgia, going to Miami? I mean, they're now, I'm telling you, they're having parades down there because of Carson coming to town.
Yeah. Well, you know, no question, Carson Beck intended to go to the NFL. And this was it for him. He came back his fifth year at Georgia. This was it for him. And you look at the calendar there. He gets hurt in the SEC championship game. Then there's some questions, medical questions about, is he going to have surgery? What's the long term? What's going on? He went and saw all kinds of specialists. I think the guy in California that did Shohei Ohtani's deal wound up doing his elbow as well. I think the time crunch didn't help Carson Beck. He was coming back he wasn't really around the team at all. You know, he came back, I think, the day before the Sugar Bowl and, you know, kind of announced, hey, I'm going to the NFL and those types of things. Then between the Sugar Bowl and those 6, 8, 10 days, I don't think the feedback that he wanted to hear and his agent wanted to hear, like, hey, you can't throw until like late June.
Yeah.
And at that point, you start thinking, okay, you know, my opinion is that Georgia wasn't going to pay him what they paid him last year. And I don't know that they would. I don't know if Kirby Smart would have said, don't come back. I just don't think it ever got that far. I think when Miami got involved and they were like, this is the amount, I'm pretty sure they were like, hell yeah, we're taking that. And, you know, it's something that, you know, he's going to make a lot more money than most of the NFL quarterbacks this year. So,
I think
the timing of the injury, the feedback, those types of things really played into it. Listen, you don't sugarcoat, his girlfriend's there. He's a Florida kid. You know, we'll see what happens there, but I don't think it was calculated, you know, December 26th, hey, I'm going to Miami. I'm just going to wait to announce it. He was going to the NFL. The feedback wasn't what he wanted. And then this injury, man, this is, listen, he's not going to be able to throw until June. Like, he's got, that's a real damn injury. There's been people come back from that. And I'm certainly, from what I understand, he got a guaranteed amount. And then there's a lot of incentive tied to his health with this season going on. So, you know, good for him, man. He's got a whole team around him, and he's going to get paid, man.
Is it kind of like a pay to play type deal? Is it, you know, if he gets out there sooner, you know,
I think he's got like NFL guys. You got bonuses, you know, amount of games and amount of wins and those types of things. But I'm certain he got a large amount guaranteed. But you know, you see numbers like $8-10 million. I don't think $10 million was guaranteed. I would be surprised if at least 3 or 4 of that wasn't guaranteed, with the rest being tied to how healthy you are. Miami would be crazy not to do that, as far as, you know, what, where he's got to overcome and those types of things in the next 6-7 months.
Well, he's out of here, you know.
Yeah.
He can make all the TikToks he wants now. We don't care. Drive that Lambo around Miami. Yeah. But I am curious, man. Somebody's got to take the reins down there in Athens. And I obviously, we saw Gunner. We saw a little bit of him. But looks like we may have somewhat of a quarterback competition leading into fall here. So what does that quarterback room look like?
Well, I think it's a two-guy race right now with Ryan Puglisi, and you know, he was the redshirt freshman, and you look at Gunnar Stockton, who's been there for 3 years now, and he knows the system, and you know, I think people really got quick to say, hey, this is Gunnar, and then you saw Georgia recruiting other guys. You look at Fernando Mendoza, the kid that wound up in Indiana. You look at Deshaun Purdy. Well, that can wind up being a 30-30. The kid committed to Florida. He never went to Florida, never got on campus at Florida. He passed the timeline to where he could transfer to SEC school, tried to come back to Georgia, and from what I'm hearing, and Florida would not release him, even though he'd never moved in, he'd never been on campus, he'd never taken a class, those types of things. So he ends up at Wake Forest. So people are like, well, that doesn't, you know, that means we don't believe in our quarterback room. No, that's not the way that works. Kirby Smart wanted competition. He wanted guys that had played before, and he wanted more competition in that room. So this is an open job. I really do. I do think Gunnar Stockton has he's kind of out in the lead. But Ryan Puglisi is a kid. I don't know that people outside of Georgia really know how highly recruited he was. You know, this was a kid. When I met you guys up in Nashville 2 years ago for the for the first ever On Three Elite, I was sitting there with his dad, and we're sitting at the bar one night there in Nashville, and he goes, look, man, this recruiting stuff is no – like, we basically had to tell Ohio State quit calling. Like, he's going to Georgia. We know Georgia is recruiting Dylan Raiola. They have told us up front they're going to take two quarterbacks. Ryan wants to go to Georgia. I'm behind my kid, and he thinks he can win the job. So – you know, Ryan was a highly recruited kid, and Gunner obviously was a highly recruited guy too. So we'll see. I don't know if Georgia adds a quarterback in the spring portal. Very well could, but it's hard to miss spring practice, man, and to make a dent. You know what I mean? You know, if I'm somebody want to come to Georgia, I want to be there now and go through spring practice. So we'll see. We'll see how this thing plays out.
Well, it's that time of the year, you know, when we start painting a picture what our program will look like.
And,
you know, speaking of quarterbacks and Ohio State, I got to ask about Curtis. He's one that keeps popping up on my feed. Is he going to Oregon? Is he coming to Georgia? What do you think? What do you think happens here?
I've been really consistent on this one. He has some really, really pro Georgia people in his circle. I mean, there are some people that really want him at Georgia. There's some people that really believe in Mike Bobo. There's some people that have really, you know, some of the stuff he's done and some of the stuff that they feel like it fits with him.
Yeah.
Now it's a different world now. Don't get me wrong. This isn't going to be a on sale recruitment. Let's just say that he has an agent, you know, he has a full team around him as well. I think as of today, you know, it kind of changes. I'm confident it's a 2-team race.
Yeah.
I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I think he ends up at Georgia, but I'm not ready to make that full-time. I mean, that's not over.
Right.
But he definitely, I think Georgia has the appeal of that room is really thin, and it's not far from Nashville, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And they kind of believe in that system. And I did talk to some of his family recently, and they're like, look, You know, schools were negative recruiting, saying that Mike Bobo's not going to be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Mike Bobo's there, and that type of thing. And they went out and got all these offensive pieces and got all these wide receivers and those types of things to try to add to that. So,
yeah,
I think in the end he goes to Georgia, but this is not going to be this is going to have some ups and downs if you're a Georgia fan. This isn't going. But the day he decommitted, everybody's like, he's gone. I'm like, he's not gone. I'm telling you, the kid's not gone yet, y'all. Hold your horses, man.
All right. Did you get that? Rusty says he's going.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
No, I won't do you. I can't. Hey, but I am curious, you know, every time I'm looking at your feed, I see a lot of high school camps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different. You know, when I was in high school, the only type of, I guess, recruitment was a blue chip magazine that came out, you know, and that's how we found out two counties over there was a guy that's legit that we got to face. Yep. But now it feels like there's more involvement with these high schoolers, even middle schoolers now. And I know there's got to be a dark side to it. What are you seeing more of, like these you know, I don't know how to word this, like agents and stuff. Are you seeing some of this pop up? Maybe there's collective type deals that are kind of putting these camps together. What are you seeing on your side?
I see money grabs. I see camps. I see camps that advertise. Dude, I see camps that advertise, I'm going to be there. And I'm like, you need to take that shit down. Like, I'm not going to, you know what I mean? You can sell somebody, but you're not selling my name. And, that's why I always tell people, when you look on that flyer, if it says Rivals is going to be there, if it says On3 is going to be there, if it says 24/7 is going to be there, ask them who's coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times that, well, they're going to send somebody. Well, that's the number one sign. It's not. You know, I started a company in 2010 called MVP Camps. This is our 15th year. I went to a camp in Charlotte, North Carolina in 2009.
Yeah.
And, man, I drove up there as a part-time employee for scout.com. I drove to Charlotte. I spent 3 hours at the camp. I saw the line a mile long. And I asked this parent, I said, what are y'all paying? And they said, we're paying $110. And I thought, in 2009, that's a lot of freaking coin now for a camp. And I said, okay. So I spent 3 hours there, and Shane, I couldn't tell who could play football and who could not. It was a marketing / underwear event, basically. Yeah. And I thought, man, there's got to be a better way, and there's got to be a cheaper way. So I jotted some notes down on paper and thought about it on the whole way home. And, man, a couple months later, I started MVP camps, and I charged $40 a head. And, you know, we've been having camps, man, for 15 years now. I've had Trevor Lawrence. I've had Alvin Kamara. I've had Derrick Henry. I've had Nick Chubb. I've had Laramie Tunsil. I just looked through some notes the other night. I'm sitting there in one camp we did on a Friday night. There was a little wiry kid, and I thought, damn, that kid can spin it. I said, what grade are you in? He's, I'm a sophomore. Noodle, but, man, he had a live arm. Wound up being Josh Dobbs, and that was the first time I met Josh Dobbs. And first time I met Alvin Kamara, I bet he weighed 140 pounds, but he was the only person that was giving Reuben Foster issues in coverage that day. And I thought, damn. this little joker here now, you know, and two years later, he's a highly recruited guy. So I've had a lot of success with those camps, and it's just something that I, you know, I've taken a lot of pride in. My thing there, Shane, is I don't care who you are. I say this all the time. Derrick Henry walked in our camp with 50 offers. He didn't leave with an award. Nick Chubb stood in line 3 hours and he didn't leave with an award. You know what I mean? Whoever's the best that day, I let those coaches make that pick. And I'll say this, you know, Sports Illustrated did a big piece on it and kind of talked about that day. The first day I ever saw Trevor Lawrence was an eighth grader at MVP camp. And he was the one kid. I had a golden rule. I would not write about middle schoolers. I wouldn't do it at that point now. And I still don't dabble. There's people that dabble, and then that's fine. But back then, it was unheard of to even talk about a middle school kid. And I remember Trevor – I've got his measurements written down from that day. He's like 6'2", 170. I tell you how long ago he had a flat top. But I remember Shane standing there, and it got out of his hand so clean and had so much juice on it. I remember the high school kids were standing behind me when he was throwing. And I can't remember the high school kid as a quarterback. And I turned to him and he goes, "What? Who is that?" I said, "Son, that's an eighth grader." And the kid went, "Holy shit." I said, "Yeah, yeah, that's me. That's exactly what I feel right now. Watching Trevor Lawrence." And, you know, and it was one of those days you never forget. 'Cause I left there going, "Holy smokes, that guy." And then, you know, I saw, I had Andrew Thomas, who wound up being the number four overall pick in the draft. I had him as a freshman, and here he is, dude. He kills me for the picture I put out on him. And he's got a little baby fro, and he's got a little, you know, he's got a double chin. But I see this ninth grade kid in his 6'3", 6'4" frame, and his feet are unbelievable. And I was like, damn, this guy's good. And
yeah,
he's a freshman. You know what I mean? So I've had fun with that. But what I see now are these money grabs. And listen, I just tell parents, here's what I always tell parents, trust your intuition. You know what I mean? If they're promising you a scholarship, if they're promising you stars, that's the number one thing probably to run from, because rivals, they'll use those things to evaluate 24/7. They'll use camps to evaluate. They're not going to promise you any stars. And if you come to MVP camp, we're only going to promise you an opportunity to gain some exposure. We don't promise stars. That's just not the way we have. And that's been my deal with Shannon Terry now for it was non-negotiable. I was like, I'm bringing my camp to him. He's like, Rusty, just do your camp. Just operate the same way you've always operated. I'll tell you this, I've been offered big money for stars before. I mean, it is. I don't do stars anymore, but back in the day, shit, if I knew what these weddings cost, there'd have been a lot more people with stars. Because I got all daughters, I promise you that. There'd have been a lot more stars floating around the Southeast right now from about 2014 to 2018. But you would be shocked at the amount of
paper stars.
I'm like, whew.
They get so mad because it's a kind of a cash grab, but we've kind of created it.
Our old heads have
kind of done this and made this system. So they're just relishing in the moment. But is there a guy right now? Because you talked about Kamara and a lot of, because you see them and then you're like, man, this kid's going to be something special. You know, is there? I was looking at the state of Georgia alone. I mean, it wasn't just Georgia Bulldogs recruiting down there. I mean, that is a hotbed, always has been. Is there any maybe SEC players that you've seen out of the state of Georgia that you're like, hey, this could be a dude. This could be a guy that changes or helps change a program.
The number one player in this class for Georgia's kid named Tyler Atkinson, a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I saw him as a seventh grader. Marcus Howard, who trains a lot of people out of Atlanta, defensive end guy, and he's training people in the combine right now.
Yeah,
I remember seeing Tyler Atkinson, and I was going, "Okay, this kid's 6'1". This kid's 175 pounds, and he's doing outside linebacker drills, and you worry that kids are doing too much too young.
Yeah.
Well, what I learned about Tyler is how he's wired. So now he's a senior. Now he has a brand deal with Adidas. He's the number one player in Georgia. He's out of Grayson High School. He is wired to be elite, meaning that he loves football more than he does recruiting. And the same ethic I saw when he's running in those sand pits as a seventh grader is the same effort I see right now. And those are like, okay, Nolan Smith, he's a hot topic right now. Nolan Smith, I had Nolan Smith for the first time as an eighth grader. He was small, but he was different. He had a motor about him. And I thought, you know what? Keep an eye on him. And I did. And 2 years later, he transfers to IMG and he winds up being this five-star 2 years later. But, you know, you start seeing those ethic, the work ethic, early in these guys. But you have to watch the side. I can tell you a lot of stories where I saw a kid as a ninth grader and I thought, dude, he's got it. And he didn't grow anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's that too. But you look at these guys at some of these guys you see early, very close with Nick Chubb and known Nick a long time. Now he's a friend of mine and it's a pleasure to watch him. But Nick Chubb had a down year. He gets hurt. He got hurt again. Mm-hmm. You know where Nick Chubb was yesterday? He was already back home training. You know what I mean? Like this guy is wired. Like you've never seen a human wired like this. And, that's the kind of the thing that I see how these kids, like, can you carry it consistently? Are you that guy?
Yeah.
Are you that social media guy? And that's what kind of separates these kids.
What's he squatting now?
I don't think they let him do. I don't think they let him do. I tell you something. I usually don't get into this deep, but I was with a buddy last week, and he was like, "I can't imagine your damn phone." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "All those numbers you got in there." He goes, "Let's call somebody." I said, "Man, hey, what?" He goes, "Let's call somebody." He goes, "Who will pick up?" I had a couple cold beers. I'm not gonna lie. I had a couple drinks. He goes, "There's no way Nick Chubb will pick up." I said, "Nick Chubb will pick up." So it's by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I FaceTime him. Bam. He's laying. He's answering. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm in New Orleans at the Super Bowl." I said, "I'm not." And he goes, "I can tell." So, you know, he just kind of said, "Hey," and, you know, talked to the guy with me for a minute. And he said, "All right," he said, "I'll see you. You know, I'll see you next week." But those are cool moments.
It's about, like, yeah. That. I mean, you watch these kids grow up.
Yeah, man.
Network. Hell, I'll never forget when we met. Was it Atlanta a few years back?
Probably was. Yeah.
And I want to say that was one of the first times I ever really talked to anybody in the media, you know, because it's always just been me and Mike. And and after that, man, you kind of make this group in your mind, you know. I was like, "Well, if we went out to eat, that's a guy I want to go, you know, because he ain't going to eat a kale salad, you know." He's probably
no, hell no. I've talked about it on your show, and I, you know, talking about it with you guys, my mom and everybody, you know, I think the first time I was ever on your show, we kind of went deep into my background. I think people didn't realize where I'd come from. I worked in a steel mill for 4 years. You know what I mean? And I worked in a tire factory for 9 years, and my heart was in sports. And the moment I got a chance to get into it, I did. So I never take this stuff for granted, man. I'm like, I've been doing it now for 16 years and I've built an incredible brand, but I'm still that dude, man. I'm still, you talked about national signing days. I will never forget being working in a steel mill in 1998. And I'm sitting there, and I got, you know, all you can do is try to find out what's going on. You listen to radio. You had a little bit of text back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, did Jamal Lewis, Cozy Coleman, and Deion Grant play with Tennessee today? I'm like, what the hell, man? And then y'all, it's 8 months later, Tennessee won the national championship with those three freshmen. But I remember, you know, coming back from the break room, and we're all, you know, grown men are like, you know, is Jamal Lewis and did Deion Grant sign with him? I'm like, hell yeah, they got all three. You know, it pissed everybody off the rest of the day, but. I've been that guy. I watch Forrest Davis on TV. I got the magazines, you know, Bill King. I do Bill King all the time. And I'm like, dude, I grew up listening to these guys. So I'm a fan, man. And you know, and you, if I could spin around and show you right now, you would probably lose a bet. I got two jerseys that hang in my office. It's Alvin Kamara and Trevor Lawrence. You know what I mean? And those are two guys I've kind of watched grow up, and two guys I've, you know, maintained communication with, and two guys I respect, and two guys that, you know, friends with their family, and cheer those guys on.
How close was Trevor going to Tennessee?
Not really, because, I mean, the family, his uncle is Tennessee to the bone. His whole family was Tennessee to the bone. They were going through so much of a transition, you know, and just some uncertainty there. It got down to Georgia and Clemson, and I'll be honest with you. So he commits to Clemson in December of his junior, or after his junior year, he committed in December. But at the end of July, he took one more visit, and he was done. He was going to Georgia. I mean, it was all but done. Even with Jacob Eason in the class before him, and those guys, Jake Fromm. I mean, he liked Georgia. He liked it. You know, he just felt like that was a place that he could go compete. Kirby and those guys did a good job. But I will say he took a visit in June, and it went really well.
Yeah.
And Clemson was a little bit behind. I was talking to his dad, and he was like, "Look, nothing changes. He's going to end up at Georgia." And that's kind of
–
and I'll say this. He went to Georgia on a Thursday and a Friday. That Saturday, he woke up, and he went to Clemson for one day. And he was there the whole day, went to dinner with Dabo and Brandon Streeter, who's now at Georgia, some of those guys overlooking the lake, and they got mom that night. I mean, when they got mom, they said, "Look at this lake, how peaceful it is." And, you know, and kudos to Clemson, man. That night literally turned that thing, because his dad called me the next week, and he goes, "We're just going to play football for a while and let this thing." And I thought, oh boy. And surely, surely, he made like two visits to Georgia in the fall and like two to Clemson. And I'll never forget it. I was sitting there on like a Tuesday night, like 9 o'clock, and I get a text from Trevor. And he goes, "Hey, can I give you a call?" And I was like, "Here we go." And I answered the phone. And he said, "Hey, Mr. Mansell, what you watching?" I said, "I'm Trevor. God knows I'm watching Christmas Vacation, you know, whatever I'm watching." He goes, "Well, I just got off the phone with Dabo." And I said, "Well," he said, "I just committed to Clemson." And I said, "Have you told anybody else?" He goes, "No." I'm sitting there. I'm like this, you know, trying to get the story together. I said, what quote you're going to give me? And that was how he handled it. Wasn't no edit, you know, wasn't a tweet, you know.
Yeah.
We got to put the story out, and they did a good job chipping away at Georgia, but it was really close. Tennessee, though, had it been at a different time, Tennessee definitely would have been the clear, because his entire family, you know, they were Tennessee people. Now he wore 16 for, you know, Peyton Manning, and I know that.
Yeah.
It was just the timing wasn't right for Tennessee, but you know, Georgia came really close. In fact, his dad told me the story maybe a year ago. Said that Trevor ran into Kirby somewhere, some golfing event, whatever. And Kirby said, "Man, the last time I saw you, you told me you were coming. Now you damn two national championships later," whatever, you know. And so, but that's the way it goes, man. You know, it's ironic. Georgia misses this guy. This was the guy that Georgia was in on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it winds up being a walk-on that they wind up getting to. So Clemson got theirs, and Georgia got theirs eventually with Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. Tell him he can make up for it if he just go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I heard that trade rumor floating around. So
I tell you, man, I hope he does.
Is there really?
You saw those tweets today, you know, and I don't get into his family business on that. I did text with his dad, you know, last week or so when they got the new coach, and I was like, "Hey, I hear good things about this guy." But, I just think Pittsburgh's a great organization.
Yeah.
I think they got a great defense, and I think, man, I think they'd be hell with Trevor.
I think
he is he's got some stuff to him, man, and he's been hurt, man, and that's the one thing, he's been hurt, and they've been great up front. So we'll see. Maybe there'll be some legs to that.
Are you like an Eagles fan now? Because all Georgia's up there.
I am definitely an Eagles fan with those guys because I know Nolan.
Yeah.
And those guys so well. I know, and Nakobe. I didn't really know Jalen as much. I covered him a little bit. I met Jordan after, maybe his junior year or sophomore year a little bit, but I knew Nolan from the eighth grade.
Yeah.
Nakobe Dean, I spoke in Memphis one night in June of 2017 or 18 or whatever, an event for the Memphis Touchdown Club. And to be honest with you, I had a few that night with those guys. And I woke up the next morning, I was like, "It's going to be hot today. I'm about to sweat this out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop by Horn Lake, Mississippi. I'm going to stop by and watch Nakobe Dean practice, set it up with the coach. And I'd be damned if I didn't get over there at 10 o'clock. It's 3,000 degrees in Mississippi. I mean, it's thick as a damn. I mean, it's thick as damn jungle in there now, the humidity. I'm over there. God knows what I look like. Me and the players are both pouring water all over us. You know, I'm drinking water. And I'm thinking, all right, anytime I'm going to get a chance to interview him, and I'm driving back. Well, 2 hours, I stay there and wait for practice.
Yeah.
Kobe walks up to me, and he goes, "Hey, you got a few minutes?" I said, "Yeah." The middle school walks up, and this dude personally coaches in middle school for an hour after practice. And you want to talk about why dudes are different? I knew Nakobe Dean, and you come out a 4.0 kid.
Yeah.
Like, I knew right then. I didn't know where he was going. I knew Georgia was in on that. But 6 months later, they got him. And I'm telling you right now, that story will stick in my mind forever. Him being a five-star kid, number one or two player in Mississippi, and spending an hour by himself with those middle school kids.
Oh, man.
Different dude, man.
Yeah.
Different dude.
Well, I got a couple more questions, Rusty, and I know you got a busy day. But one of the things, and you don't have to answer this. I mean, you can't answer it, but you don't have to say names or anything like that. But it feels like as long as the NIL is going on, the less impact these stories have. But I was a huge fan of blue chips growing up, you know?
Yep.
You know, everything from getting a tractor to getting a house.
Yeah.
What is the wildest recruiting pitch you've ever heard? And it doesn't have to be Georgia specific. It's just one of the wildest pitches you've ever heard that you can't believe this is how that kid got landed at that university.
Well, the problem is now there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that they sign these kids. You know, back then it was like, you know, I think, you know, for one kid in particular, I remember going to see him and I was going to watch practice and his mom and dad dropped him off and they were in a four-door Ford Taurus. And to see him, the size he was, to get out of the back seat, I thought, well, number one, that dude can bend because he's a damn, that's a grown man getting out of the back seat. So he was a junior in high school right at the end. And then that summer he commits to an SEC school. Mm-hmm. I go back over in August to watch him play a game. This joker drives up in a damn Raptor. And I'm talking about this thing. Dude, there ain't no more having to bend. This was a big four-door, just badass Raptor. And I looked at the coach and I said, I know where he's going. He goes, funny how that works. And, you know, so, you know, I've seen the card. Yeah. I've seen the card and stuff like that. The thing about it is you hear all these stories and everybody says, my school didn't do it. Hell yeah, your school did it. All of them did it. But now it's the, you know, with the NIL, they're so.
It's a little more out in the open now. It's like,
it's a little more out. It's a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal. This NIL stuff makes SMU look like them, you know, cheapies back in the day.
Disney just wrote a $50 million check. It's like, and then you got Nebraska's coach out here saying, "Hey, we ain't gonna have spring games no more." I'm like, dude, there's no way you're getting away with less content when they start cutting a check down here in the South. Do you hear any rumblings of the? I mean, Sark came out kind of mimicked those thoughts, but. Do you think spring games ever go away?
Well, so my personal opinion is they're probably going to get the OTAs. Mm-hmm. I talked to two head coaches in the past 2 weeks, just a text and said, do you think spring games will go away? And both of them was like, hell no. You know, it's great for me to see my kids in front of people, see how they react.
Yeah.
Now they're not the only people going to make that decision. I think what's going to be in question here, Shane, will be these contracts. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying, you know, player X $1.8 million and his ass gets rolled up in a spring game, you know, is it worth it then? Because you lose a top player. You know, that's why the NFL just does these OTAs. So I don't think in particular like spring practice is going to go away. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, the Matt Rhule deal would not. Listen, if he thinks a spring tape is going to show his roster, everybody knows your roster. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that all they got to do is watch tape, their game tape. They'll know your roster. I don't think that's going to happen. I think some schools might go away and do some stupid stuff for spring games, but as far as spring practice, I think that's going to be there, and I think they might wind up doing some OT. I'd like to see it condensed. Man, they got like 4.5 weeks where a team practice Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Condense that thing to 3 weeks and do, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then do, you know, because it's going to get – I'm telling you right now, whether those coaches want it or not.
Yeah.
It's going to be some collective bargaining by these players. That's what the NFL did. They're like, we can only hit so many days a week. Mm-hmm. We can only be in pads so many days a week. Once they start getting and digging in these contracts – the amount of contact is going to be some player leverage, I think.
Yeah, I do that with Mike all the time. You know, that's like, I'm only committing so much time here. So
that's right. That's right, Mike.
One last thing, man. I want to ask you just on the money, because I guess the hot topic down there in Georgia is the Kirby bill that's passing through, and now we're not going to have to possibly pay income tax with these NIL. Is this
state tax?
Is this news or is it noise? Is this something that
changes
landscape for Georgia?
I don't think. I think when people look at the grand scheme of it, you know what I mean? Where you're looking at 4%, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, 4.5%, it's not going to be ridiculous. I think it's the thought of, hey, my ass works in this state. I got daughters that have jobs. Why are they having to pay state taxes in a starting corner for Georgia Tech's not?
Right.
That's the line. And you look at Alabama did it yesterday. You know what I mean? Because you look at Tennessee, no state tax. You look at Texas, no state tax. You look at Florida, no state tax. I just think that every dime is being looked at. I anticipate this thing to probably get some legs and pass. I don't think it's going to be a massive amount of money. Mm-hmm. I think it's the perception of, hey, these kids are already getting enough.
Yeah.
And why are they getting a break? So that's going to be the question. I don't think it's a massive amount of money. A couple of those guys are making, you know, big dollars and those types of things. I tell you, I had a coach tell me, and this is truthful now, I had a coach tell me, not at Georgia, but another school, said that April 13th, mm-hmm. like last year, you know, a couple of kids walked up and said, hey, coach, we need our check for our taxes. And they're like, excuse me? like y'all don't pay our taxes, right? And they're like, you better call your agent and learn how to file an extension. That's on you, man. Yeah. You know, and they're like, you've not been listening to what's going on. So it's, you know,
did the kids not have, like, I always wondered, like, because it's tough. I got to do taxes, you know, and it's frustrating to do. We had Chris Marler on. He made a great comment. He says, yeah. I don't know why the government makes us do this math equation every year. You know, not the kids just take it out. But I thought you don't hear it as much with college kids. Do they mm-hmm. have somebody just taking the checks and saying, hey, this is the part you can keep. This is the part we're keeping for taxes or
some of them yeah. do, you know, some of them I'm hearing some, you know, some. I'm hearing some horror stories, some of them. Yeah. Some of them, there's a lot of people in their pot. There's a lot of people in their account. There's, you know, there's family members that are, you know, digging in their funds. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about that part. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's not on. The university can educate these guys as much as they want. And they mm-hmm. can meet with financial people. And they can do these types of things. But at the end of the day, you're writing a check and it's going into this kid's account. And
yeah.
whoever's got means to it. And I really worry about, I tell you, Shane, I don't want to get too far down, but yeah. I really worry in about 3 years where these kids are, because yeah. these kids are three or four schools. Nobody is bringing up education.
Yeah.
Nobody's bringing up education. If you're 21 years old and you're playing the SEC right now, and you're a starter, let's just say average starting salary is probably between $500,000 and $600,000. You're 21 years old and you're high on life and you're thinking, I'm about to start rolling, I'm gonna go to the NFL. Well, something happens and you don't. Well, you're 21 years old, man, and every meal is prepared for you. Your structure is you're being told every spot you're gonna be at next, every yeah. calorie's being counted, you know. But if you have no education, you're sitting there and you've transferred three schools. Well, what did you do? You pissed off those three schools' mm-hmm. alumni base, and those guys aren't gonna help you.
Yeah.
Nobody's signing you up for an NIL. What's going to happen when you go in and say, hey, we're going to offer you a job, man, but you're going to start at 60. And they're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
60?
Yeah.
You know, I'm making 500. You know, and I worry about where we're going to be with these young men. I a million times think these kids deserve some money. No question. Yeah. And a good chunk. I just worry about that side of it. Like, where are we going to be in 3 or 4 years with these kids that just bounce from school to school and it's over? I mean, 25 years old, man, the average, I think, American male lives to be 77. So you're going to have 52 years without football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you're over at 25 with no degree, like, I worry about those types of things. And that is something as a parent on my side of it. I worry about these young men and women that are, you know, earning these yeah. big salaries and what they're doing. And I hope they're in the right place. I know a lot of people that have complete financial teams mm-hmm. around them. And I know people that have real, like Malachi Starks and Michael Williams, two kids at Georgia. I mean, they had Drew Rosenhaus as their agent from like their sophomore year on. And, you know, you have these major, you know, marketing guys around them, financial guys, marketing guys, agents. So you hope that all these kids are getting a great start on life.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, now I need their beer, Rusty. You know?
Yeah.
We went there, didn't we? Oh, man.
They did, man. Yeah. I worry about that, you know, because I've just been doing it.
Yeah, if you're a parent, that's what you think about. You know, you always want the next generation yep. to be better than or have more yep. than what you did. And that's why it always helps to have a good influence, a credible source. Like my boy mm-hmm. here, Rusty Manziel. Can you tell the audience how to follow you, how to listen to you, how to support you, brother?
Lord, if you listen to all this and you still want to follow me, God bless you. On X, it's Rusty Manziel _. And then my Instagram, which I just play around with. And that's Manziel 247_. And people ask me, why are you still 247? I'm like, Every time I did, I'm trying to change my name, it won't let me. So yeah. I'm still Mansell 247 underscore and then Rusty Mansell underscore. I do most of my stuff on X for that. And you know, I say it all the time, man. When you don't know the difference between a Monday and a Friday, you got a dream job. And I've been living it, man. I have been every time I get in the car, Shane, to go see somebody, I go, you know what? I could be sitting in that steel mill right now.
Absolutely.
Watching that flame cut some steel, or I'm going to watch some football. So I've never lost that that perspective.
Hell yeah, man. Well, hey, brother, it was an awesome time. Thank you for sharing a beer with me. And
yeah, man.
Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Let's do it.
All right, brother. Hey, buddy, what's going on?